As we come to look at God's Word together, I've actually entitled the sermon, How to Overcome Obstacles. Chapter 6 actually tells us about the story of Jericho and how the children of Israel conquered that city. But in many ways, the Israelites had to decide whether they would continue the journey to where God wanted them or move backwards. Would they move forward in spite of the obstacles, or would they retreat to safety? And in many ways, when each of us arrives at a crossroad in our spiritual walk with God, we are confronted whether to go on forward with God, whether we would seek His directions as difficulties and setbacks confront us. I think the book of Joshua teaches us how to overcome the obstacles, and especially here in chapter 6, what it actually means to follow God, to let the Lord be Lord, let the King be King. But I just want to start with this. Eric Wellhammer is blind. But in spite of that, on May the 25th, 2001, he reached the top of Mount Everest. Eric lost his sight when he was only 13 years old, but it didn't stop him. On the mountain where 90% of the climbers never make it to the top, and 165 people have died trying since 1953. Eric succeeded because he could listen well. He would listen to the voice of his teammates. But actually, he listened to a little bell tied to the back of a climber in front of him, so he would know what direction to go. He listened to the voice of his teammates who would shout back, "Death for 2 feet to your right," so he would know what direction not to go. He listened to the sound of the pick jabbing the ice, so he would know whether the ice was safe to cross. He succeeded by listening. And as we live our lives out as His people, we need to listen to the voice of God. As Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Firstly, from the passage I want to pick up, we overcome obstacles by receiving God's word. We overcome obstacles by receiving God's word. And if you're following in the Bible, verses 1 and 2, and it says this: "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with the king and its fighting men.'" See, the major obstacle facing Joshua and the people of Israel was Jericho. And Jericho was such an impressive city. It had a double wall which was nearly 30 feet high. The outer wall was 6 feet thick, and the inner was 12 feet thick, Houses were built on planks across the wall. And if they could conquer this city, then Israel would know the way forward to conquer the promised land. But it presented such a difficult challenge. How would they reach the city? How would they scale the wall? Then God spoke into Joshua's situation here in verse 2. And we have a God that speaks his living word into our hearts, a God that leads and directs us. Joshua had a God who communicated. Verse 2 reads, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with the kings and the fighting men.'" See, in verse 2, we have God's promise, the promise of the Lord. And I want you to notice the tense of the verb here. It's so important. "I have given Jericho into your hands." And what the Lord is saying to Joshua, the victory has already been won. And that phrase, "I have delivered Jericho into your hands," it speaks of that hope and that encouragement to God's servant. It actually envisions Joshua that the Lord has already won the victory. And for us as New Testament Christians, it speaks of that tremendous hope that we have. Isn't it by the grace of God that we have been rescued through the cross of Christ, that Jesus has won the victory? All that Joshua and his people had to do was to claim that promise and to obey the Lord. See, the word "delivered" here really describes a future event in the Hebrew word as already being accomplished. Victory was assured by the promise of the living God. And this morning as we come, we serve the living God, the God who is the God of power, the awesome God, the God who can work in any situation and to bring light into the darkness and to bring hope into despair, the God who walks with us, the God who encourages us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The simple fact is, as we live our lives out as his disciples, as we seek to be rooted and established in our Lord Jesus, we need to be people that seeking and running and yearning and longing after our living God. To know God's promises. And as we spend time, which each of us must do on a daily basis, reading God's words, meditating on God's words, and to believe the promises of God, because God's word generates that faith in our hearts. It's not only believing or obeying, but claiming the promises of God. And whatever your obstacle facing you, God is willing to cross it with you. He is committed to communicating with his people, providing strength and hope and comfort and reassurance. If you're up against a wall, You want to know how to deal with it. Don't try to overcome it in your own strength. Spend time in God's presence. Let this be the first plan of action rather than the last resort. Secondly, I want to pick up from the passage. We defeat difficulties through our obedience to God's command. And if you're looking at the scriptures, verses 6 and verse 7, it says this. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. That God is going before us. That is our tremendous hope. And what we can learn from these verses, that no situation is too great for the Lord to handle. No problem is too much for him to solve. God always knows what he will do. And our responsibility is to wait for him and to tell us all that we need to know and to obey it. Just let me illustrate it. Sir Leonard Wood was visiting the King of France. And the King was so pleased with him, so he invited Sir Leonard Wood to dinner the next day. And the King was surprised when Sir Leonard actually turned up. And the King said, you are here. And Sir Leonard said, did not your Majesty invite me to dinner with you? Yes, but you did not answer my invitation. And Sir Leonard responded with these words, a king's invitation is never answered, but to be obeyed. And we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We defeat difficulties through our obedience to God's command. In the face of such great obstacle, Joshua responded to God's plan. Though he may not have completely understood this plan or its significance, he followed God. And the spiritual principle as we apply it to our lives, sometimes we don't always understand what is happening, how the Lord is leading or guiding or directing. But we need to respond as the Lord actually leads us and guides us. See, Joshua moved the people to action. And God could use a man like Joshua because he was a person of faith and trust and obedience. Joshua simply followed as God instructed, and the people followed. And I want you to notice verse 10. It says this. Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until I tell you to shout. Just imagine it. A minimum of several hundred thousand people. Some commentators actually suggest over a million. Marching around the city without a word, not even a whisper. There were priests with their trumpets, those with the ark, our men, and the rest of the people. And the suggestion is even this. It may include it, the women and children as well. If this is the case, the silence may be even a bigger miracle than the walls falling down. The passage does not tell us why they were silent, but perhaps it teaches us the principle of being silent before God, just resting in his presence. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14, it says this, "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Isn't that a tremendous verse, really? When we are faced with situations, when we feel life is so unfair and just, you know, sometimes we want to respond. But the principle here is the Lord will fight for us and be silent. Or the well-known verse in Psalm 46 and verse 10. It teaches us the need to be quiet, to stop running around, that we might rest quietly in him. And that phrase here in verse 10, "until the day I tell you, shout," it shows the people must have understood God's plan would involve more than one day. Yet careful reading of the text suggests that Joshua did not unfold the entire plan at first, but day by day gave instructions. Each day they would go out and march around the city and then return with nothing happening. And we read in the passage, there was no negative spirit, discouragement or disbelief as they marched, as they circled after circle around the city. You could be sure they see a seemingly impossible situation. The walls were still standing there. Jericho had not surrendered. Yet they did not complain or question. I just wonder, as they were marching around the walls day after day, the people in the city think, what's going on? Maybe the Israelites actually faced, look at these silly Israelites. What do they actually think they're actually doing? Yet they walked. They simply obeyed day after day until the seventh day, when they marched around the city seven times. Verse 16. They were to shout to God because the city had been delivered to them. See, here, the key is obedience. See, God was helping them to learn patient obedience. For it's through faith and patience that God's people inherit what God has promised. See, the simple fact is, time and time again, when you and I have prayed for different situations, inviting God into the situations, and sometimes we wonder, why isn't God always answering our prayers in our time scale? God is never in a hurry. He knows what he is going to do, and his timing is never off. If the week schedule was a test of their patience, the divine command of silence was the test of their control. See, our determination to obey God and keep on obeying God will help us to deal with our struggles. I don't know if you're familiar what Eugene Peterson said. Christian discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. And we see Joshua's obedience, which is key. And we see in response the moving of God's power, his mighty hands in the lives of the Israelites. Israel could march, the priests could blow the trumpets until all of them dropped from weariness. But if the Lord was not with them, there could be no victory. When we accept God's plan, we invite God's presence and his victory is assured. Thirdly, and finally, I want to pick up the impossibilities become possible through confidence in God. The impossibilities become possible through confidence in God. And it's verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed, so every man charged straight in, and they took the city. It was that uncommon common sense to believe that God could make the impossible possible. Do you remember the story in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus is up the mountain with Peter, James and John, and the rest of the disciples are down in the valley, and a desperate father actually comes, a boy with an evil spirit. And he came to the disciples, and the disciples were powerless into the situation. And Jesus returns back into the valley, and he sees the desperate situation and asks a question. And the father came to Jesus and explained the situation, and that the disciples were unable to do it. And said, if you can do anything. And Jesus takes up that question and really says, everything is possible to he who believes. I think it's Mark chapter 9, around verses 23, 24. And so often, the impossible becomes possible with our living God, because he is the God of all miracles. He is the God that can change and to transform any situation. And it says in verse 20 that the walls collapsed when the trumpet sounds. And the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, the people gave a loud shout, and the wall collapsed. Yet, in the end, the walls fell. You see, the walls was not the problems. They never are. We people are the problems. We always are. And God's power to do as he chooses, but he desires us to act in obedient faith. And when we do, he takes care of those walls. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, it reminds us, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell, and all the people had marched around them for 7 days. It's interesting to read the comments made by Dr. Alan Redpath on this passage. He suggests that many people do not see an answer to their prayers simply because they stopped one round short of their conquest of their own personal Jericho. Instead of going round seven times, they only went round six times. See, we might be doing the right things, but we simply stop doing them. Sometimes we want immediate deliverance, but the Lord comes to test our faith, and in the process, he builds our character and our relationship with him. The fall of Jericho should be an encouragement to God's people to trust the Lord's promise, to obey his instructions, no matter how impossible the situation may appear to be. Joshua and the people of God demonstrated that deep confidence in the power of the living God. We serve the same living God who has all power, all authority, and all majesty. You and I may not capture a city as Joshua did, but in our everyday lives, we face enemies, we face high walls that challenge us. And the only way to grow in our faith is to accept new challenges and to trust our living God who gives the victory. Amen. Let's just be still before our Lord in prayer. Lord, for many here this morning, there are obstacles sometimes to overcome. But Lord Jesus, we thank you that through your cross and through your resurrection, you have won the victory. And Lord, as we rest in your presence, might we have that assurance and that hope in you, Lord Jesus, to know your grace and your power and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.